Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy. Hey, folks, this is episode number 313, and this week we have Jason Radford from the rock alternative group Centershift. How are you doing, Jason?
Very good, guys. Happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday to
Happy
you.
Happy Monday. We record this on Monday, so it gets the week started off right.
That's gotcha. Right.
Yeah, right. Happy Father's Day to you all.
Yes, thank you.
There's a song that makes me. That's how I feel about Mondays.
Is it the Boomtown Rats?
Mondays. That's right. I don't like Mondays.
All right. So Jason is from, like I said, Centershift, and they come from One Side Zero. Got a new EP released, A Different Shade, on streaming platforms. Tell us about yourself. Tell us about your band.
Centershift. We started, it's been kind of a work in progress for a few years, coming out of One Side Zero. The relationships I made with the guys that are in the band now are relationships we've had through our previous bands. You know, Ted, the bass player, comes from a band, Bemis, that we took on tour. The One Side Zero took them on tour back in the day. Ryan is from the band Shovel, that did a lot of Ozfest stuff in the early 2000s. And met through them through touring and playing, and a lot of history between all of us in the band. So when we started this, we were just kind of writing songs, Ted and I, and we started as kind of a three piece. One Side kind of evolved into this when One Side just kind of called it a day. And, you know, we went through COVID and all that stuff, and wrote a lot of songs. We ended up tracking most of the record during COVID twice out in Cleveland with Jim Wirt. And who did like Incubus and Hoobastank and Fiona Apple, and great producer. And he actually did the first One Side Zero record. So for me, it was loyalty to go back and do this first record with him.
Nice.
Thank you.
So where's the band out of?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Okay. So you went from Los Angeles to Cleveland.
Yeah, three times.
Because there's no producers in Los Angeles.
Well, you know, like I said, yeah.
Not the one you wanted.
Not the one we wanted. Jim originally was based out of here, out of Santa Monica at 4th Street. He had bought Brian Wilson's from the Beach Boys studio in 4th Street, Santa Monica. So we did all the first records and demos and everything with him there. And then he moved to Cleveland and has a big studio out there. So for us, it was kind of like, well, let's get out of the element of L.A., and let's go record someplace completely new. And I've been to Cleveland through touring, but you're never really in Cleveland until you're in Cleveland. You know what I mean? So it's a definite different atmosphere out there. So it was, we just finished, did that and then kept going out there to finish the record with them. And, each time it was an experience. This last time to finish the last six songs for the record, and I'll explain why we kept doing this. We drove. So we just got a Sprinter van. Ted just bought a Sprinter van. We all said, okay, let's jump in. And we drove out there. We surprised a guitar player to see his mom on the way, because he's originally from Wichita, Kansas. And then they all flew home. And Ted and I drove home, made it home from Cleveland. Thursday, we left at 7 a.m. We made it home to Los Angeles Friday at 7 p.m. So we drove straight. Yeah, it was crazy.
It's called Cannonball.
Yeah, I'm napping. You drive. I'm driving. Yeah.
You nap. So. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, it was cool. It was an experience, definitely. Ducked a tornado. That was cool.
There's a song in that, probably.
Probably. And everybody's stopping. I'm white knuckling. You know, the rain's going sideways and this ways. And I'm like, everyone's stopping. And emergency brakes on the freeway, on the highway, I guess they call it out there. And, yeah, it was quite the experience.
So how long did it take you to do the record then?
So about 1 year, because okay. We kept going out there and we just kept writing. So what's really cool is we dropped the first EP, A Different Shade. We'll have another single coming out in August. And then the second EP for the Fooling. So it's a three-piece drop is what we're doing this year for the Fool. So you have the two EPs and then the full length with extra songs. So we went out there to make sure that, you know, everybody who's been supportive to us is watching the growth of the band musically, as well as, you know, members being added. Ryan came in later after the first half of the record had been done. So we went out there to put more of his stuff on the record. So he was a part of all of it. And so basically it's the three pieces. You see the evolution of the band growing to get to the final stage of the record with extra songs for everyone who's supported us, that you get a little bit more, some more stuff, you know what I mean? So you're not just rebuying the same thing and be in, which is really cool of everyone, but you're also getting more for it.
Nice.
That is cool. So you guys, go ahead. Are you going to be out? Where are you taking this? Taking this now? Are you going to be going out on? You got a tour set up?
Yeah, we got a few runs that we're doing. Right. It's been really interesting because of coming out of COVID. Right. You know, the agent that we had is One Side Zero. They closed down. Agencies aren't taking a lot of. We're considered again a baby band. They're not taking them on because during COVID, everyone decided to write a record. And so bands that hadn't been out in 50 years decided, hey, I want to go tour my record I just wrote. And it's rad. You know, it's great as a music listener and as a fan of a lot of these bands. But for us trying to get out, you know, working out deals with new agents and touring is been in a lot of the tours had to pick up and a lot of the shows and festivals had to pick up from where they couldn't do it the last 2 years. You know what I mean? So especially the beginning of it. So, you know, we're kind of waiting. We're taking, you know, the tours. We played some really great shows with, you know, great bands. And I think we did Hoobastank and Black Map and some really good shows around. And, you know, we're being patient, but we got to get out there. So we're doing what we can, you know.
So are you trying to hit a lot of these because of summer, these festivals you're talking about? Are you trying to hit as many of those as you can or get on to one of these? Being a baby band, you'll be one of those guys on the, you know, doing whatever stage, you know, they'll let you on there at that point. But I mean, it gets you out to the people. That's the whole point.
Yeah. You know, and that's really the whole thing. You know, radio has been really kind to us. So we're hoping that kind of picks up some things, you know, we've got some offers on the table, which is really cool, but yeah, really for us, we're just grateful to get out and play. And the fact that people are identifying with this band and the music, you know.
Cool. What were some of your influences or what are you, something from some of the guys in the bands or in the band?
For me personally, I come out, you know, I'm a punk rock kid. Ted, the bass player, is an East Coast guy. So, you know, he's got the East Coast punk rock vibe, but he's, you know, he's from Jersey. So he's got a little bit of the Jersey in him. Everybody's influence is a little bit different. Our drummer's, you know, very jazz and rock influenced. You know, I think that all puts the energy of what we're writing now and everything together into solidify what we're doing. Like I said, the beginning, the progression of the band is shown in the full length when it comes out. But you can tell that, you know, we started as a three piece and that was very directed as all my writing coming from One Side Zero as one of the writers as well. You can tell some similarities. And then from that, the growth as everybody started being a part of the writing situation that, you know, it evolved into what Centershift is. And so I think that's really cool as a music fan myself to watch or be a part of the evolution of a band. And especially within the first record, I think is kind of cool.
Nice.
I've got a quote here from your press release. It says, "A Different Shade is the first piece of what we as a band went through, either personally or professionally, during the last few years. In a way, we wrote and recorded the trials and accomplishments life threw our way." You want to talk a little bit about how that song came about?
Sure. You know, we all came through, you know, COVID hit everybody weird. And it's, you know, it's odd that we still have to talk about it, but it is a big part of, I think, everyone's writing and or experiences. So during that time, you know, we've had people that we lost, you know what I mean? And during writing and we knew we were going out to do the record, but didn't necessarily have a point to it or a direction. It kind of answered itself, right? So everyone's life was affected a little bit differently, you know, the changes in their own personal thing. you know, let's say battles of drugs and alcohol, to sobriety, to losing family members or things like that, you know. So there was a lot that went into the record of real life, you know what I mean? And it wasn't a conscious, let's write about this, but it was, this is what's coming out, you know? And so the quote was really about that, you know, this record's really honest. And, you know, I don't know that a lot of bands go after the point of being, let's be really honest on our first record kind of thing. It's more like, hey, let's write the rad songs and that. And it's kind of, I think, what we felt, but it kind of went the way that it went naturally, you know? So, you know, as artists, we're very part of, you know, sign of the times, I think, you know, and what's going on. And if you're in touch with that, I think that, you know, it's going to come out in your music, you know, you're going to portray it in your music. So it's kind of where that came from, you know?
That's cool. No, that is real cool. Like, so I was listening to your stuff and it's like, so where, as far as radio play, are you getting more acceptance, like on more like the alternative? Cause we have a college station here that we can pick up here. And it's the kind of music that I would hear on that kind of an alternative college station. I mean, yeah. Is that where you're mostly coming through, or is it because it's kind of, it's hard to kind of pinpoint, you know, some people it's like, oh, you're just rock or you're country or you're this right. or that. Yours is kind of the alternative, but then kind of rock. It's different in a way.
Yeah. We get a little bit of both, right? So active rock or the hard rock stations will pick up this is our third single, And So, that's out now.
Right.
And, that's more of the hard rock stuff, but it's got the alternative edge. So we kind of cross over, which is cool. So we can get on alternative and, you know, get on the hard rock stuff. And I think I like that because, you know, as you listen to everything, you know what I mean? You kind of have to be into, or not have to, but, you know, it's your own musical taste of what you like. So,
right.
Yeah, for me, the crossover is really kind of cool. As long as we don't cross over into easy listening, I think we're cool.
See, that's my thing. Even being in my car, I really don't listen to radio. To just, you know, I just don't listen to radio stations. I just don't. Yeah. There is an alternative college station that every once in a while I pick up when I'm getting closer to where I work, and I'll listen to. But as I was listening to it, I was like going, you know, where? Because, you know, in Indiana, you either have classic rock, country. And then there's like, and that's about it. And an alternative. I mean, and there's a rock station, but they're not really rock. And you know what I'm saying? It's kind of, yeah. It's odd. Because it's one of those cookie cutter stations that everybody plays the same playlist. So
right.
That's why I was just wondering where you guys came out of. Because like you said, you really can't pinpoint your genre down. It's kind of you, like you said, you're covering a few bases.
Yeah. Which I think is kind of cool. You know, this day and age, it can cross over to different people's vibes and different, you know, and a lot of people get their own influence of what the song or in songs are, you know, there's no like, we don't get pigeonholed into one thing and it's kind of something for everybody, you know, it's got the melody and yeah. So, I mean, we're grateful for where it's at. It's hard as hell for our radio guys. You know what I mean? I'm sure they're like trying to service the song to a bunch of different plays, you know, and platforms, and to nail it down to, you know, to one thing, it's, I guess, a little difficult, but I like it. So thank you.
I want to go back and correct myself real quick. When I read that quote, I said A Different Shade is a song. I meant to say that it's the EP.
The EP, yeah.
So for anybody that's listening, I kind of screwed that up. Not that I ever make mistakes. We were unprofessional before we started.
But at least you did it before somebody caught us. That's the main thing.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
We fact-checked ourselves. Way to go, Alan. Sure.
Well, occasionally a blind squirrel finds a nut. I don't know.
There you go.
So you've got seven songs, and track one is 9, track two, My Own World, track three, Dry Well, track four, Waiting for Summer, 5 is Tell Me, 6 is Couldn't Tell, and 7 is Kingdoms. Is there one of those songs that, you know, stands out to you as this is one of the best things I've ever written, or what can you tell us about those individual songs?
Yeah, you know, 9 was the first song that we tracked. It's the first single that came out, and it's the first song on the first EP. that was kind of like a, for me, my change in life, kind of expressing that coming from One Side Zero and the trials and tribulations of being on a major label like, you know, Maverick Warner during the 9/11, the 2000s, early 2000s, and all the ups and downs that you go through of that. And then, you know, Maverick folding in our career and then having to make the jump. And, you know, we wouldn't be talking today if it wasn't for our fan base and all the supportive people that have been there for One Side Zero all the way through all of our careers, individually or collectively. So, Kingdoms for me is, I just love that song. It's really about breaking down the ego kind of thing. And, speaking about yourself of just, you know, we're all in this together, you know, and, whether that be bands, you know, you don't get a medal at the end of the day saying, you know, hey, you're the best band ever. You did it. No, we're all in this together. You know, it should be camaraderie. And I think that that's really what's kind of coming around again is the brotherhood and, or sisterhood, just the camaraderie of bands and artists working together for the same goal, you know, putting out really good music and trying to get people entertained again and out, you know, because a lot of people, as we've seen as being on the road and things, you know, that there's a definite disconnect in everything, the environment that we're in the world and just in general, you know, and people coming out of such a weird last 2 years and maybe for some people longer, you know?
Yeah. Are you seeing, so when you're going to, are you doing club shows mostly or yeah?
Yeah. Right now. Yeah.
Are you seeing a pretty good gathering at the club shows?
Yeah. Some of them, you know, for LA, it's so vast, right? So there's a lot of different pockets of Los Angeles. You'll have hard rock areas. And then, so we'll see some shows that are very empty. Right. And then you have some that are just packed where everyone's like, I'm going out, I'm done, I'm, you know, I'm going to see music. So you can tell that there's still that underlined thing happening. You get a lot of like, you see a lot of, you know, you play a show, we try to stream them, you know what I mean? So do Instagram Live or things like that, and you'll get a lot of hits. So there's people watching, there's people that are want to be involved, you know, but maybe they're nervous or this or that, you know? So, you know, it's just the sign of the times. We got to, I think we're coming through it, you know, but then you see the festivals that are like everybody, you know, in the Midwest and things are just, you know, 50 plus thousand people that are there just killing it, you know? So it's all happening. You know, and we got to, like I said, we're in this together. So however it works, it's going to work, you know.
As you know, I asked that because I was at a local show that was an outdoor thing here over the weekend. And it was a kind of an 80s, they're an 80s tribute band as who was playing. But it was, there were, I don't know how many people were there. It was packed. There were a bunch of people. I mean, it was outdoors and, in a new venue, but you turn around and looked and you could see people about as far as you could see. And it was amazing to see. That's probably the, you know, other than I've been in a couple of big arenas, you know, since COVID, but that's the first time I've been out where there's just that many people that are just out seeing bands that either probably have never seen before or whatever. And just having a good time. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it was very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that case in point, 80s cover band, people just want to go out and have a good time.
Yeah, you know, that's all it was about. Yeah.
Nothing but a great good time.
Now, Jason, now, has California, because we, you know, we're living in Indiana, but has California dropped all their mask mandates as far as any like venues and stuff like that? Or are they still, are some places still requiring masks, or how does that work?
Some, most of the venues are still doing the vaccination.
Oh, really? Okay.
Or you have to wear a mask. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like that. And now it's kind of easing up, you know, and these are the bigger venues like the Whiskey, Yeah, bigger club venues that are doing that. And I think they have their own protocols. And so I guess you kind of respect it as what that venue or that business is doing. But yeah, a lot of it's really opened up and you still see a lot of people wearing masks and that's their own choice, you know, because the surgeons are coming in and going, you know, and I think the political thing is going away, I hope, of wear the mask or don't wear the mask and get the shot, don't get the shot, you know, just let's just, you know, because people are getting mad at the business or the overall generalness of it. And it's like, you know, it's not the general thing, it's the particular business or club and all that. So, you know, we respect it as artists, but I'm sure it's hard. You know, some people are done with the mask and all that, but I think it's easing. You know, some places no, some places yes.
Well, my first show after, you know, post COVID was when we went and seen Mammoth up in Louisville. And that was when we had, it was a smaller Mercury Ballroom, and we had to have a vaccination, or you take a test there, you know, before you went in.
Yeah.
And then it was masks optional once you went in. But, you know, I was still getting, you know, my wife's a nurse, and her friend, you know, first thing she texted that night, she goes, look at Dennis, he's up there on a super spreader without his mask on. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You had to skid over. It's like, you know, that's calm down.
Did you get it, Dennis?
I got COVID, but I didn't get it then. I got it. Yeah. I got it.
Well, later. I was with you, standing right next to you. And
we were in Nashville, all three of us together. And I got it at some point. I don't know if it was then or afterwards, but I got it.
I probably had it.
Very mild. So anyway.
That's not, let's don't talk about COVID anymore. That's
yeah, well, I'm not going to do it. But I was just curious because of, you know, being in LA, I don't know how they are. If they're, you know, the bigger cities, Midwest Indiana right now, we're like, you know what? COVID what?
You know, I had gone to the Gulf Coast. I went down to a band that I was managing called Silent Trust. We now have a band down there called Envision. And, Silent Trust, this was the heat of COVID, and I went down there, and there was no mask. There was no COVID. They're like, what? You know what I mean?
Right.
And it was funny because my business partner and I went out there and we're wearing masks everywhere, you know, because we had to wear them on the flight, and we're wearing them just out of habit now. And they were looking at us like, where are you all from? California?
Yes, I am, actually.
Exactly, I am. What gave it away? So, yeah. It's a trip.
Yeah, you didn't need a t-shirt. You had your mask. That was enough to get people.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's good that everybody, you know, the things are getting somewhat back to normal. And like I said, we'll all get there at some point.
Yeah. So back to the record. So you said And So is the latest single?
And So is the latest single. Video.
So is that the latest single off the second EP then?
No, it's not on this EP. It'll be on the full length.
It'll be on the full length. Okay.
Yeah, right. It got a great run right out of the gate. So it was originally on the first EP, and then we decided to pull it off. And which is cool is it kind of created a little controversy with some, you know, new fans and people going, why isn't that song on the EP, you know, kind of thing. And you got to be patient. You know, we're doing something that I think is going to be really creative, and I hope it's cool. I hope it goes over well. Okay. But
because yeah, I was looking at that. I was just looking at what I'd listened to earlier. And it's like, well, I didn't see that on there. So,
That's I pulled it up. The same thing. I'm like, wait a minute.
I'm looking at. Yeah. You know, I'm doing it on Spotify, and I'm like, that wasn't on there.
Right on. Check out the video. The video. It's a very awareness to domestic violence, which I think is also something very important to talk about. The director kind of took the vibe of the song and went with, you know, his treatment. And then we fine tuned it a little bit. It was a lot more graphic. And I think that the topic in itself is graphic. So we put a disclaimer in the beginning of the video to make sure that, you know, people are aware what they're about to see.
Nice.
You know, for an EP though, you're actually a song and a half from being a Van Halen album. Minute wise. You got 25 minutes and 1 second. All you need is a song and a half. You got your Van Halen album right there.
Well, I want to jump in here. I am the president of a nonprofit that focuses on domestic violence. And I appreciate that you've made that a topic of a song and gave people a heads up. This is what you're going to see, you know, because people are easily... people can be easily triggered by things like that. And I totally understand.
Yeah. And it was important that, hey, this is as not as graphic. I mean, watch for yourself and get what you do or what you will. But I felt it was important to let everybody be aware right away. Hey, this is what we're talking about. This is the topic that we're touching on. And, you know, coming from a family of domestic violence, you know, a lot of us artists and musicians, I think, come from either broken homes or that type of environment that created what we became later in life, I think, you know. So it was a way for me to kind of share, you know, a topic that's not discussed enough or addressed of what is reality. As much as COVID, I think it's just as much as pandemic or epidemic, you know what I mean, of what's going on in life, in the world, you know?
But no, yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, it happens more than we want to know. And, you know, when it does, it's not talked about. Yeah, it is hidden away. So
it happens more than we want to know. That's a good way to describe it.
It is. I mean, and it happens, and the people that it happens to don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they bury it. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's a heavy thing. Well, thank you.
So the album that song is going to be on, did you mention when that was going to come out, or do you have an estimated release date?
Yeah, it's going to come out this year. The second EP is slated for August, and then the EP or the LP to follow. We haven't targeted that date yet. We've got some really cool business stuff in the back end happening right now that will come out soon of what's going on with us label-wise, which we're excited about. But, you know, so with that being said, new hands inside, you have to be all on the same page, as, you know what I mean? So the plan might change a tad or not. You know, they might dig what we already have in, you know, in motion. But so the three parts, just to explain that. So this first EP is A Different Shade, ... The second EP is just going to be the word "of." And then the third release of the full length is what the answer is, A Different Shade of What. And haven't decided if we want the fan base to kind of help out and decide what that "of" is, what that answer is. You know what I mean? We have what we had thought about when in, you know, conception of it, but sure, it might be really cool for the fan to pick that and then, you know, win that title.
Right. So is everything recorded?
Yes.
So everything is done. It's just a matter of just releasing it at whatever point you decide to release it and go from there.
Yeah. And our hope, like, you know, the question about the touring, our hope is to be on the road and kind of set it up, you know what I mean? And get the fan base. And because, you know, everything's so digital, but there's nothing like being and meeting the people out there, because that's really the core of it, you know? And that's my favorite thing in the world, is having this family and meeting these people face to face and hanging out with them and that whole thing, because it's 100% what this is all about. You know, the same for me. You know, I just get to do it. I'm blessed with the chance to, and the, you know, able to do this as a job and career. And, you know, it's really about getting out there and meeting the people and that make this happen for you, really.
So when you get to the final project or the final presentation, are you going to include vinyl in your, or
hopefully? Yeah, we'd like to.
Bill and I like that answer.
Yeah, it's a hard one, because you know, it's such a niche type of thing, and I don't know if we're the niche band that fans are going to want that. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah. If it's cool, you know, if they do, then hell yeah, we'll give them what they want. You know what I mean? It's rad. But you know, just to come out with it, I don't know that we're that cool yet. You know what I mean?
Well, it's a lot of extra money to dole out. It is.
I mean,
if you don't know how the, you know, what that selling point's going to be and all that kind of stuff, for sure.
It is pricey, you know, with managing the bands that, and they all want it. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, well, here's the price tag on that. You know,
two of the three people of Ages of Rock podcast love vinyl. Right.
I see it back there.
I'm one of them.
I'm looking at it. I'm like, my business partner is like that. He's got,
there's the other one right there. That's the other one. Alan doesn't have one of those.
Now, a minute ago, you spoke about hitting the road. So I have it's kind of a what if for you. If you had the opportunity to hit the road and open for any big band, or not even a big band for that matter, just any band, what band would you want to open for?
Well, my buddies are in Black Map. I love that band. It used to be Dredge, and or the guitar player Dredge and the drummer Afar. And the show we play with them has been phenomenal. I'm a fan of them. But I would love to be out with Quicksand. I would love to be on that Quicksand Helmet tour. Not Prong.
Which I think he was with Helmet. I just saw that the other day.
Yeah, Quicksand Helmet and dang it. Anyway, amazing tour. And that would be phenomenal. I'd love to be all the Quicksand. Larger bands, you know, really, I would go out with anybody right now. It'd be phenomenal. So I think that a lot of great records are coming out, have come out. And just to be a part of that energy would be incredible.
Right on. Tell our listeners.
Clutch.
Yes.
There you go. I was trying to run it.
That was just in Indianapolis. Yeah.
I put Quicksand Helmet Tour. And then I'm like, somebody's going to pop up. But Quicksand, or I'm sorry, Clutch is the, they're going to do, you know, they got a fall tour coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a tour.
There you go.
So tell our listeners where they can find you online.
We are at Center on Instagram at CenterShift underscore OG. For Facebook, it's CenterShift Band. Our Linktree, if you just Google CenterShift, it'll come up. It should come up with our Linktree links and stuff like that. What do I have here? I don't have it here. We have stickers with a QR code, which is just as much as I hated it. And I'm sure everybody kind of relates to this in the beginning of COVID where you had to scan the freaking QR code for your menu. I started the first thing is stickers. I was like, I wonder how easy these are to get. And so we got the QR code, which was, you know, you had to get used to it. And then you can QR code and Linktree everything through that code. You know what I mean? So it's a one-stop shop. So for me, I was trying to develop an app. I'm like, there's got to be the way of leaving the concert with that feeling of having the CD or album in your hands, right? Where you sign it and that kind of thing. Well, the QR code kind of answered that. Instead of creating an app, you can scan it right there at the merch table, leave with a shirt and have everything on your phone. That's as quick and as on demand as things are these days. You know what I mean?
Good idea.
And it works great. You know what I mean? So if you mention it, and then all of a sudden your Instagram, when you get back to your phone after the show, is just of ads, and it's just phenomenal.
Yeah, I did the QR code for my band. It was really cool.
Yeah, it works. I mean, and then you have a link tree to it. And so you have your videos, your downloads, every, you know, platform that the songs and music's on, everything, your merch, your Bandcamp, anything you want on there, and you can update it by the minute. You know,
that would be cool for a podcast.
Yeah, if we had somebody that had somebody know how to do that.
Bill and I have no idea. I can't even scan one of those.
Can't figure out how to use Twitter. We have people that can't figure out how to find their email for the media for the actual the podcast we're having tonight. So yeah,
but I got records though.
I buy shit.
All right, Jason. Well, we appreciate your time. Like I said, I'll send this link to your publicist, and we'll get this out in about a week or so.
Right on. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
All right, thanks, man.
Have a good time.
Hang tight.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.